Matthew chapter 4, verse 18. While walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Simon, or Peter as he's better known as, was a very interesting person, and we know a few things about him. He was a fisherman by trade alongside his brother Andrew, and according to Luke 5:10, Simon and Andrew were fishing partners with James and his brother John, and John is the author of the Gospel of John, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, and the Revelation of Jesus Christ. And Simon had a few good moments with Jesus and a few that were not so good, allowing us to see his faults and confidence in his own strength. We can learn a lot from Simon as he gives us plenty to learn about following Jesus and not being impulsive. And Simon is referred to as Peter in Matthew chapter 4:18, our opening verse, but in the parentheses it says, "who is called Peter," and that's obviously written after the fact. We don't know if Jesus gave Simon the name Peter before Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, where he said, "And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." But all the Gospels refer to Simon as Peter before the event at Caesarea Philippi mentioned above. And if Jesus waited until Caesarea Philippi to give Simon his new name, that would mean that Peter had spent around 2 years with Jesus. And you can find this information using what's called a harmony of the Gospels. And I have one in an old Strong's Concordance that I bought back in the 90s when I came to Jesus. This is before there were internet resources available. And it essentially arranges the events in all four Gospels in chronological order, and it's helpful in our effort to learn more about Jesus and the Gospel story. So if Jesus gave Peter the name earlier and simply reiterated his name in Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, it would mean that Peter had spent less than 2 years with Jesus. And Jesus naming him Peter or Petros may have seemed awkward to Simon, as he may not have felt ready for that new name. What does this mean? I'm not sure how this works. I have a new name now given by Jesus. But God gives new names to his people. He gave Abram, which means exalted father, the name Abraham, which means father of a multitude. Interesting, he only had one kid when he did that, and that was Ishmael. In Genesis chapter 17, verse 5, God makes a covenant with Abraham and gives him his new name, and he also gives Abraham's wife Sarai the name Sarah. She also gets a new name. And in Genesis chapter 32, Jacob, who is terrified that his brother Esau, who he betrayed a few times, was coming out to meet him with his personal army of 400 men. And God met with Jacob that night in the form of a man. So think about that, God in human form. And Jacob latched onto him and refused to let him go. And it looks like Jacob repented that night, and God gave him the name Israel. And there's a promise in the book of Isaiah where the nation Israel will also get a new name in Messiah's kingdom, or the thousand-year reign of Christ, mentioned in Revelation chapter 20. Isaiah 62:1, "For Zion's sake I will not keep silent, and for Jerusalem's sake I will not be quiet, until her righteousness goes forth as brightness, and her salvation as a burning torch. The nations shall see your righteousness, and all the kings your glory, and you shall be called by a new name that the mouth of the Lord will give." In Revelation chapter 2, to those who stay the course with Jesus, there's a promise for a new name. In verse 17, it says, "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one who conquers, I will give some of the hidden manna, and I will give him a white stone with a new name written on the stone that no one knows except the one who receives it." Also in Revelation chapter 3, there's a promise to the faithful that Jesus will write on them the name of God and Jesus's new name. So Jesus will have a new name in the New Jerusalem as well. It says in verse 12, "The one who conquers, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God. Never shall he go out of it, and I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down from my God out of heaven, and my own new name." So giving people new names is not something unique to Simon. It's all over the scriptures. But in Simon's case, the name Peter is pretty interesting. In Matthew 16:18. That verse has generated a lot of controversy over who is actually being referred to that the church will be built upon, Peter or Jesus. That's another discussion, but I think the answer is obviously Jesus, since he is our cornerstone, our foundation, our strength, our hope, etc. And the two words used there for rock, Peter or Petros, and Petra for the rock that the church is going to be built on, are different words in the original language. Peter, or Petros, means a piece of a rock, whereas Petra is a mass of rock. Like the rock city of Petra, big mass of rock. Peter just means a piece of a rock. So Simon now goes by Peter, the piece of the rock, and this indicates a work had been done in his life where Jesus now changes up his identity a bit. A new life, new man, new name. But the newness didn't prevent Peter from reverting back to Simon on occasion. Immediately after Peter's profession of faith in Matthew 16:18, he makes one of his famous blunders by trying to rebuke Jesus, and he quickly gets a tune-up by the Lord. It says in Matthew 16:21, "From that time Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed, and on the third day be raised." And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "Far be it from you, Lord, this shall never happen to you." But he turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan, you are a hindrance to me, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man." Now, just a few verses earlier, the situation is sweet, optimistic, impactful, and the piece of the rock really screws up. You don't correct Jesus. He's God in the flesh, and he knows a whole lot more than we do. Also, the plan of the Father was to, as Paul puts it in 2 Corinthians 5:21, "For our sake, he, the Father, made him, Jesus, to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." So the plan all along, going back to Genesis 3, was the cross. In Genesis 3:14, it says, "The Lord God said to the serpent, 'Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and above all the beasts of the field. On your belly you shall go, and the dust you shall eat all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel.'" So the plan of God to fix Adam's rebellion, which affected mankind, was the cross, where Jesus would defeat the power of the devil who has been managing planet Earth since the day Adam followed him instead of God. And in 1 John 5:19, kind of reiterating this, it says, "We know that we are from God, and the whole world lies under the power of the evil one." So the cross was the solution, but Peter didn't see it that way, so he rebukes Jesus. And throughout the rest of the Gospels, Peter has his ups and downs, especially when he, along with Judas, both betray Jesus. And Judas hanged himself, and Peter ran out and wept bitterly. So one could really question if Simon was really up to the task of being a rock for Jesus. But there's a beautiful lesson in the life of Peter that we would do well to not only recognize, but apply to our own selves. And that lesson begins in the Gospel of John, chapter 21, where an utterly defeated Peter sits in the presence of the now risen Savior of the world. Peter now knows that he should have trusted Jesus and believed in him when he said to Peter, "You will deny me three times," after Peter swore to die for Jesus. And Peter's defeated. He had utterly failed in his mission as an apostle. But Jesus asks Peter three times, "Peter, do you love me?" And Peter answers in the affirmative. Jesus then commands Peter to feed his lambs, tend his sheep, and feed his sheep. He restores Peter three times, one time for each of Peter's denials. And the lesson moves on to Acts chapter 2, where the promise of the Holy Spirit would fall upon the disciples and make them witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. After Acts chapter 2, we see a very different rock. This rock is truly solid. Peter becomes a bold and effective apostle, unlike his previous record indicates. And the rock would be used in a most scandalous and surprising way. Peter would be used to usher in faithful Gentiles to the body of Christ. And because of that, we Gentiles, or non-Jews, are now part of the family of God. So Peter now saw himself as Jesus saw him, a child of God, led by and empowered by the Holy Spirit. Who do you see in the mirror? A defeated Simon or a rock for Jesus? Believe, receive, and go. Thank you.